in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. This is part two of a three-part series. We're going to try to get as much as we can in this. And the next week, we're going to go crazy. So this is the middle one, which sometimes in the movie trilogies, the middle one is the best. All right, I know some of you were thinking the middle one's not the best, but this one is the best. All right. So last week we talked about alignment, and we talked about we use the analogy of our car and driving, and many times when we're driving, we don't even realize that our steering wheel is like at a 45 degree angle. You let go of the steering wheel and your car starts veering to the left. That analogy fits to our life, and it's exactly actually what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get us veering from the direction in which God has for us. So David in Psalm 23 starts off with declaration. It becomes like getting in a rental car or someone else's car and realizing, wow, my brakes are shot. I'm having to pump them every time I come to a stoplight. I realize that something is wrong with my vehicle, and many times we just get used to it. And in the getting used to it, I love what David does is he starts off with this declaration of who our God is. He is the Lord. He is the one that's in charge. He is the one that loves me. He is the one that is moving on my behalf, and he is my shepherd. He's the one that oversees what's going on. But what's interesting is we talked about that we can actually create idols in our life. Now, those idols could have been started from a very real experience. Anxiety and fear many times is not based in a fragment or a figment. Sorry, that's what I meant. A figment of our imagination. But the enemy uses that moment to create something that begins to fuel our inability to take steps forward. So that anxiety, that fear, may have been based in something that was real, but all of a sudden we actually begin to transition from that reality to actually holding something that becomes an idol. And what I mean by an idol is something that takes the place of who God is in our life. And what's crazy is that you can say, well, Pastor, so what you're saying is something that was done to me or what my parents did or what someone said can actually become an idol. Yes. Because anything that substitutes the reality of who God is in my life actually becomes an idol. And you know what an idol's desire is? Its desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. Its desire is to lead you into a place of a desert. And so what I love about David is he kind of sets the plumb line. He puts the level on the countertop. He takes the car and he gives us a different vehicle so that we can see, man, I've actually got to make an alignment. But do you want to know what the most powerful weapon of the enemy is? It's not his power. It's not the sin nature. It's not this world. It's actually our pride. It's actually that we say, you know what? I appreciate what you're saying, Pastor, and it's definitely for somebody else. But you know what? My car, the steering wheel, likes being at a 45 degree angle. I've just kind of gotten used to pumping my brakes over and over again. You know what? I kind of like it. I was in a rental car once and I hit the brakes and everybody almost went through the windshield. So I kind of like that it takes a little bit for us to stop. And you know what's interesting is how that idea of pride is actually the enemy's greatest weapon. He sets the trap up, and that trap may be a real experience. It might be generated out of something where you've been hurt, or that anxiety is created because of the fear of what could be, based on something that you've had actually as an event in your life. But what the enemy wants to do is he wants to create a place in you where we are unable, or we actually refuse to take a step forward in healing. Because many times it takes us to identify that there is an idol. There is something that we've elevated. What is an idol? I've elevated this above what God's word says about who he is. You see, the amazing part about Psalm 23 is David makes a statement about, even though I walk through the valley, or even though I am in this place of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. He's making statements about who God is, even though his situation hasn't changed. And what you've got to realize is when David begins to talk about who the Lord is, he's making a reference of, this is the reality of who God is. And sometimes it takes me aligning my life to him. We want God to align himself to us. Lord, I feel anxious, so I need you to do A, B, C, and D. And he's like, I want to, but you've actually made A, B, C, and D the idol more. You think it's got more of a power than I do. And until I do what you want me to do, you're saying I can't do anything. I'll give you an example. Romans 1, 21 through 23. And I know I jumped right in, but that's what the middle movie does. Okay? Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as the Lord, or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, and they claimed to be wise. Pause just for a second, because all of us feel like there's no way that's us. By the way, the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, God's presence like thunder, like lightning. As a matter of fact, no animal could touch the mountain or they would die. We're talking about the reality of God in our midst, and they still decided to choose an idol because they wanted to be like the other nations. Something in them, even in the midst of the presence of God, they chose, or they made something greater than the God that was around them. I keep thinking to myself, how do you do that? Like, are you really that dumb? I mean, have you ever read that story in the Bible and you're like, dude, those guys, those Israelites were dodo heads. Yeah, well, welcome to reality of our own life. And sometimes it takes somebody getting into our car and realizing that we've kind of allowed ourselves to get into a place where we're driving sideways and we don't even know it. We read the story of the Israelites making a golden calf in the midst of God's presence right there, and we're like, I would never do that. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Verse 23, instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. You may not have a snake that you bow down to, but I'll guarantee you that there are moments in our life that can even be generated from something that happened to us. Let's call it trauma. That if we allow that trauma to go unloved on by God, it can actually take the place of God's authority in our life, and we feel like we can't move forward without it. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I'm smiling at you because this is Jesus talking to me about my own journey, and I just got to share it with you because I don't want to feel convicted on my own. The greatest weapon of the enemy is that we would refuse freedom. that we, I know, I've heard that before. I know the answers. Do you? I think this is exactly what Jesus was trying to combat when it came to religion, was that it was people who began to set themselves up as the authority, but yet they themselves were not drinking what they were passing out. And they began to set up such high standards that people couldn't even measure up to. But typically, when we do that to others, is because we find ourselves failing. So it makes us feel good to watch other people fail. So we do that amongst ourselves. We're like, oh, well, unless you look like us, you can't come to our church. Unless you're dealing with the hidden sin in your own life. You know, has anybody told them what they're doing? Typically, when we become the ones who want to throw the stone is because we're dealing with the stuff that's in our own life. We love picking up stones because we already feel like we can't change ourselves. And that's why I love David in Psalm 23. He starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Last week, I just kind of camped on that, and I'm not sure if we had a chance to kind of get in there and see what that means. So here's the phrase, "I have all that I need." What does that mean? It kind of sounds like, hey, be anxious for nothing and just let your prayers go up to the Lord. I have all that I need, brother. He doesn't just stop there. Actually, what he does is he begins to lay out an indication so that we can take a reflection of our own soul and go, ah, that's what this means. So the next verse says, "He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." Number one this morning is Jesus is our rest. If I find myself in a place where I'm striving, David's prescription is more of Jesus. Because Jesus indicates the move of God in our life to unhitch us from striving. So what am I striving to accomplish? What is driving me that I am finding myself having to spin a million plates? Some of that goes back to when we were a child, we were trying to please our father. So what does more of Jesus mean? If we allow him into the deep areas of our life and the center of that object in which, or that hurt that has now become an idol in our life, we will be healed. But if we don't, we continue to strive, trying to please that father figure. So why is it more important for us to get more of Jesus, who describes himself as the rest? I am the rest. He says this, "Anyone who is weary, come to me, and I will give you rest." Jesus describes himself as our rest. What does Jesus do? He takes away performance for acceptance. Because Jesus already made a public display, a shout from the cross that you are loved by the Father. Your sin, your past has been forgiven, and you don't have to run on the treadmill to try to please your Heavenly Father. He's already in love with you. So if you find yourself striving, which is what? It's trying to please an idol with no hands, no mouth, and no ability. You find yourself trying to do something that can never be filled. And you yourself, what is the prescription for that moment? More and more and more of Jesus. You need to begin to spend time with who he is and the reality. It's why we take 20-something minutes to worship him. Some of you guys are like, man, it feels so long. Yes, because we know where everybody's at. We're trying to give you some space. We're trying to darken the light so you're not distracted by everybody else. That you take a moment and let Jesus be at the center, because we're striving to please something that cannot be pleased. An idol can't be pleased. It just stands like this. And you never see its face ever turning towards you with a smile. You never hear the words of the Father saying, I am proud of you. And you're like, but I didn't do anything. And he goes, that's exactly the point. You don't need to do anything. You just come to me. That's why the prescription of all that I need is if I find myself striving, if I find myself trying to spin all of those plates, then I need more of Jesus. And what is Jesus doing in my life? I think it's interesting as Jesus describes himself as the one who says, come to me, all of you in Matthew, who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Isn't it interesting that Jesus describes himself as humble and gentle? What's he doing? He's giving you the example of don't let pride keep you from what I can be in your life. How did I respond to the disciples who were a bunch of prideful? Yeah. He got down on his knees and he washed their feet. Stop letting the enemy keep you from the freedom that I want to provide. Why are you striving? Let me be your rest. Next. If I find myself in a place where I'm unmotivated, my strength has left me. David says this, he renews my strength by leading me beside peaceful streams. In John 7:38, anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from your heart. Jesus begins to describe that idea of streams of water as the Holy Spirit, the one who renews our strength. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. If I find myself in a place where my strength is growing weary, it's an indication that I need to allow the Holy Spirit to renew my strength. How do I do that? It's just allowing yourself to wait on Him. Okay. You're looking at me like, you sound like you're just giving us pat answers. I'm really not. So several weeks ago, I shared with you that I was kind of going through a struggle, and I was feeling this idea I'm stumbling in my words because I'm trying to figure out how to tell you a personal story, which I shouldn't struggle with, but I am right now. I became unmotivated to meet with anybody. I didn't want to meet with any more people because they were just going to let me down, or they were going to leave, and I can't please them anyways. And so I found myself, and one night I was laying in bed, and my wife had seen me all day long, and she's like, babe, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, nothing. I just want to go to sleep. Leave me alone. And she kept prodding and kept going after me in a good way. It wasn't like, hey, you know, stop it. You know, you're a total head. But out of her love, I set up an opportunity where I could get prayed for. We have this thing at our church called Team Restore. It's a group of people that set aside time to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want? What are you doing right now? And what are the areas that keep tripping you up? And so last Saturday, I had this opportunity to meet with Team Restore, and we sat there for 3 hours, and you think, man, that's a long time. I blinked before it was over. Like, it was so fast. And in that, I walked in and I said, I feel like I have a lid over me. And I feel so unmotivated and weary. And they said, well, let's ask the Holy Spirit to give you a picture of what's going on. And so in that moment, I literally had like this picture in my mind. And I saw myself in this room, and the room was dark. And all these people were in there. And I was supposed to turn on the light for them to see, but I was so worried about how they were going to respond and what was going on that I grew weary in constantly being the guy that turned on the light. Because every time I turned on the light, people grumbled and they didn't like the light, they didn't like the haze, they didn't like this. I'm just kidding. And so I was standing there exhausted, and this is what the Holy Spirit does. You see, the Holy Spirit pinpoints something so that your strength can be renewed. When you allow the Holy, when you wait on the Holy, when you take a moment to set some time aside and go, why do I feel exhausted? Instead of blaming the enemy, and maybe it's because I've actually put something as an idol in my life, and I need to allow the Holy Spirit to pinpoint something. And so in that moment, I saw the Father standing in the doorway of this room that was dark, and he grabbed me and he put me behind him, and he said, "Son, all you got to do is turn on the light. I'll take care of the rest." And so I, with my hand like a little kid, I reached around the wall and I flipped the switch, and then I hid back behind him because, you know, of course, everybody started grumbling. And he looks at me and he winks, and you're like, man, that's kind of a crazy imagery. Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit to break into your life in an unusual way and show you something, because we tend to be a little bit hard. If the enemy can use movies to put visual pictures in your life that can lead to destruction, why can't the Holy Spirit make a whole new movie in your mind and set you free? So all of a sudden, this freedom, I stopped being weary, because I was like, all my job is to turn on the light. I can walk in freedom and do that. That's easy. Yeah, I'm just reaching around the wall, just going, hee hee, ha 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 ha. It's not that I don't care, but I was serving this idol of trying to please everybody. And I needed the Holy Spirit to give me a picture of something that would cause me to be renewed with strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is what the Holy Spirit does. By the way, the psalmist uses the word renewal, this idea of strength being restored. It's why we allow time on the sides of the room for you to get prayed for. And by the way, maybe this has never happened to you, but sometimes when you get prayed for, you feel light, like you want to fall over. That lightness is what the Holy Spirit does. He takes those burdens off and he begins to bring lightness. And where you were growing weary, he begins to renew your strength. And that's why we pray for one another. That's why I sat with Team Restore. And you can get an appointment if you want. Just email teamrestore@ecstaff.com. Email teamrestore@ecstaff.com, and you can get an appointment with these group of people that want to pray for you. I'm just telling you, don't let pride get in the way. Go seek the sides of the room to get prayer. Let people know what's going on and ask them to pray for you, and let the Holy Spirit show you where Jesus can move in your life, because we were designed to let him be our shepherd, and we shall not want. It's not just a phrase. It's not just some cute thing we say and put in a song and put on our bumper sticker. I'm a believer and I shall not want. Where's my towel? I'm tired of us showing the world that's just some phrase that we put on a bumper sticker. I'm telling you right now, I need Jesus and more than anybody in this room. I know what's in my soul, and I need Jesus. I'm applying him every day because I find myself being restless, and I need the Holy Spirit because I've gotten unmotivated and weary. And the last one, I become afraid of making wrong decisions. I'm not sure which way to go. You know, that idol is really fear. Maybe you made a wrong decision once, or you did something and you're like, I'm never going to do that again. And by the way, sometimes when we make those decrees, it leaves us paralyzed. And so we want someone else. Well, what do you think I should do? What are you thinking? Just tell me what to do. And so David says this. What does he say there in Psalm? He says, it's a statement that he becomes our guide. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 133 says, guide my steps by your word so that I will not be overcome with evil. You see, and then he adds to this section of the psalm, he says, okay, guide us for your name's sake. What is that? Is it the more you spend time in God's word, the more you realize what God has done and what he wants to continue to do? His nature, who he is. Many times we've gotten so familiar with the idol in our life that we know exactly how that thing works, and we have forgotten how God works. And what I love about the Bible is it's not just some book. It's actually God writes out word for word so that we can't make this stuff up. Remember in Romans where it says their mind became dark and they began to make up weird things about who God was? We do that. We make stuff up. We make stuff up because we're afraid of letting go of something, and we can see who God is, so we want to change that a little bit because we've gotten so familiar and comfortable with the way this operates, this idol in our life. And God's saying, listen, if you know who I am, you know what kind of father I am. Let my word begin to build confidence in you. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does the word of God do? It creates boldness. So the more I get into his word, the more I see his nature and his character, and the less I am convinced by the idol in my life of the fear of man. And I realize that God, he's the one that has my back, and I don't have to worry, and I can't please anybody. But Lord, it's easy to please you because I apply Jesus. The more I have of Jesus, the more you're pleased. And the more I have the Holy Spirit, the more I'm renewed. And the more I get into your word, the more I see who you are. And even though that idol yells at me and tells me that it's dumb, I can go back to my word and say, you are dumb. Some of us need to get aggressive. The enemy has so allowed us to get frozen that maybe it's time you get your small group together and you start declaring, no, you're dumb. This is what God's word says. This is who he is. And it becomes to guide my path because fear is no longer ruling me, because the need to help and please people has been removed. My fear of what could be because of something that happened in my life, I begin to see who he is. The word is our guy. So I realize what he wants to do for his name's sake. And what's crazy is the psalmist goes into, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So he's actually indicating my circumstances haven't changed. But wouldn't it be great that I could live in victory even though my circumstances are the same? Oh, okay, you're like, you have no idea. Let me tell you something. The Bible does not promise that all of our problems go away. We are going to have to learn how to be people who walk in the midst of the storm. But the more I allow Jesus to help me realize I don't have to please my Heavenly Father, the more I allow the Holy Spirit to bring to the pinpoint of what is driving me to exhaustion, and the more I allow His Word to become a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, I no longer am bound to that idol. I'm walking in victory so I can be in the midst of the storm. And when I say, brother, I'm walking through this thing, it's not just some phrase that's on a bumper sticker. It's the reality of who I am and what my God is doing. We need people who walk in this kind of experience, because it's what His Word promises. Otherwise, honestly, I'm out. If it's just a matter of going to church and being nice to your wife, I've already failed. Because I'm not nice to her all the time. I'm trying. I'm working on it. Don't bark at your children. Well, I've totally failed. I need more money. Yes, don't we all? If I could just, yes, I know, I feel it too. That's why we need Jesus, so that we're not chasing after the squirrels of our life. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to pinpoint where it was in the film of our life where that thing entered, so that we can address it, so that it doesn't own us anymore. And then the Word of God begins to brighten up our path so we can take steps in the darkness, because by the way, it's only getting darker out there. And we need to be more than people who, well, the pastor didn't say hi to me, and well, you know, that church just, it just doesn't do enough. Come on, mature believer. Who are we? We are not people that are tossed to and fro. We know where we belong. We stand in the midst of the storm. That's what Jesus did. And He spoke to the winds and the waves. His love is here to set us free. Would you please stand with me as we finalize and close together? It was interesting when I got prayed for and I saw that vision, how light I felt, and I hadn't felt that light since I was a kid. I remember being prayed for by my parents when I was in their bedroom, and I don't remember how old I was, but I remember just that lightness. We just got a new puppy, and she runs around the house. And wouldn't it be great to feel that light again? I know some of us are looking for some new experimental drug, some kind of new something out there. If I just exercise, I know I need to do that. But it's interesting, you can do all the right things and eat all the right stuff, and yet your soul feels weary. And so I just want to let you know that Jesus has unhitched you from the need to please anybody.